Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Thank you for being here today, everyone. Today, we're going to talk to Danielle DePillis, who has such an interesting story, very similar to mine. Many of you know that I have had chronic pain for many, many years now, and that I mainly have it under control, but sometimes it flares back up. And talking to Danielle and hearing her go through something so similar, those of you with chronic pain that have been healing through yoga therapy and the concepts of Ayurveda and Sankhya philosophy, the reorganization of our guna states on the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual levels, you know the pathway that this took for you. And I would guess that it's similar for all of us. I would guess that we all have different causes, we have different manifestations, we have different pain triggers, but the process of healing happened very similar for a lot of us. And that is that we realized our nervous systems, our emotions, and the way that we took care of our physical body, we needed to get a handle on that. We needed to figure out those triggers, those connections, reverse course, and do the daily maintenance required to keep ourselves out of pain. And that when we don't, it comes back really quickly. And we get another message from the body to say, hello, you're not doing your maintenance. You know, just like a car, just like a home, maintenance is required. So anyway, this is a great interview. I think you're going to love meeting Danielle. And thanks for listening, everybody. Without you, there would be no us at the Yoga Therapy Hour. Season 9 of the Yoga Therapy Hour. Welcome. This year, many of you have volunteered to come forward and tell your stories. It has been one of the highlights of all the years we've been doing the Yoga Therapy Hour. I mean, we've had several hundred episodes over the last 3 years. We've had almost 200,000 people listening to these episodes. It's a big deal. So to come on and tell your story and be human and be imperfect, it's been wonderful to see so many people with humility and grace and generosity and kindness. So many people telling their stories because they don't want other people to suffer like they have. And there's a way forward. As we look through the lens of yoga, yoga therapy, Ayurveda, so many of us have found that healing, a different kind of healing than we found through other types of modalities. So as we move into season 9, I just want to thank everyone who signed up this year and also let you know that I can't take any more stories. It's been such an overwhelming response. I am completely booked. We are completely booked through the end of the year, which is a really great problem to have. And then in 2026, we're moving on to a totally different topic. We had a year of stories and we'll go into something else in 2026. So thank you all so much for participating. There will be an opportunity for all of you to participate in 2026, but I'm going to do a big series on the 8 limbs of yoga that's going to take us over a year. So if you volunteer to be on the podcast in 2026, I have very specific topics listed out that pertain to the 8 limbs of yoga. And maybe you'll want to talk on one of those. All right, everyone, have a great day. Let's go hear our speaker for today tell their story. Welcome, Danielle. We're so happy to have you here.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Danielle, where are you joining us from? I love for the listeners to be able to picture where the two of us are.
Sure. I am in South Minneapolis. It's a great neighborhood. I'm really close to the river and I love Minneapolis and all of its nature in a city.
You know, the reason I moved to Minnesota is because my parents live in South Minneapolis, and I think Minneapolis gets such a bad rap. And I just saw that it's one of the top 10 cities to retire in. And I agree with that. It has so many parks and nature and lakes and trees, like huge amounts of green space right in the city. It's incredible.
Yeah, I can hike every day. I walk my dog in green spaces every day. And that's a huge part of healing, just being, you know, in green spaces. So, yeah, it does get a bad rap, but it's untrue.
But then I also say, let's not tell everybody. When people hear Minnesota, all they think about is the cold. They do not know all the wonderful things here. So I'll do another podcast on that. But it's so fun to just be a few miles apart because I'm in Hastings, right outside of
Lovely.
Minneapolis-St. Paul, also on the Mississippi River.
Oh, fantastic. I have this thing where I have to be near the river wherever I've lived in Minneapolis. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I want to just start with a little bit about your background. The first thing
Yeah.
I have to know, I'm so curious, is how did you go to King's College in London for a neuroscience degree?
Okay. I've been working in private practice a really long time, and I know I'm sure you can relate to this, but you see these changes unfolding with clients, right? And you just kind of want a better understanding of the brain networks involved and everything that's happening there. And I also didn't want, sorry to say, a siloed degree that was just psychology or just neuroscience or just public health. I kind of wanted everything to be really deeply intermingled, and that's the way it is at King's College London. And so I feel like they are in just such huge community and relationship in their research and the way they teach that that's how I ended up there, essentially.
Did you actually go there and live there?
No, it all took place online, synchronous and asynchronous, and I have this wonderful community now all around the world, and it's fantastic. I did go there this summer for my graduation, however.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that with us. So it sounds like your journey, your story actually began from the inside out. Like you organically were working with your own body and figured something out. And then through that, you shared it with your clients. And then you were like, oh my gosh, I need to understand what just happened in our bodies through the neuroscience. Is that true?
That is true. And if you like, I can kind of start a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
My story is about my journey with chronic pain, but really, as I speak, you'll I think see there was a lot of healing happening on many, many levels. And since my chronic pain was not a result of illness or injury, I should maybe just sort of very briefly glance over the environment in which my nervous system developed. And so as a child, I moved all the time. So I was constantly starting over in a new town at a new school, brand new friends, leaving the previous friends behind because, and I'm sure you can relate to this, during our childhood, we didn't have texting or email, right? So when you move, that was kind of gone, unless your parents let you call long distance, right? So I just even think about some of my neurodivergent clients and how challenging that alone would be for their nervous system, right? And then I was the oldest of four. I was a parentified child. I grew up in a household that was dysfunctional, chaotic, uncertain. And, I say all that, yet, I was in honors and gifted classes and I got great grades and I always had really good friends. And when I look back at that now, it often feels like I was living sort of parallel lives in a way, right? Externally, things, look great because, I always had a great house and, food and clothing and all of those things. But, I definitely was not embodied during that time. I mean, I look back at that and I definitely was all about solving things with my mind. And so I was really, really, really good at solving big, complicated problems that were far beyond what my age should have been capable of. But yeah, embodiment did not play a part in that whatsoever. So, kind of skipping ahead, after I completed my undergrad in Pennsylvania, I immediately, and I mean immediately, 2 or 3 days later, I moved to Minnesota. And I didn't have a job or any really clear plan other than my plan had to become an art director. which of course is very far from yoga therapy. And I got here and realized, as many people after completing their undergrad realized, that college did not prepare me for the actual job that I wanted to do. And so I was really lucky. Almost immediately, I got a job in downtown Minneapolis, a very fun job for a 21-year-old, in that I was working at a music and sound company, and their clients were ad agencies. So that worked out pretty well for me that I was making connections. And simultaneously, on nights and weekends, I was working on my portfolio, writing and art directing. And, during that time, I had started therapy and I was kind of starting. I feel like my healing journey in many ways began during this time, even though it was years before my pain developed, because I just feel like it's really hard to start healing when you're still in the situation, right? That potentially caused the pain. So I did, within 2 years, I completed my portfolio and I got a job as an art director at a very well-known ad agency. And it was kind of a big deal for as young as I was to do that, but I did. I was always sort of a driven person. So not surprisingly, I jumped into this. It feels like such a cliche, Amy, but this just very vigorous, high stress career where I was working every night and weekends and overworking. A few years in, I developed pain in my body. And, I can't tell you exactly, the moment that it happened, because it sort of feels like an evolution. And I'm not even sure exactly what developed first. Ultimately, I had chronic sciatic, low back, and hip pain. And my job required a lot of sitting. And I had the type of sciatic pain. I don't know if you or you've worked with anybody with sciatic pain. There are kind of different forms of it. And I had the kind that made sitting torture. In fact, if I still had pain right now, I would already be in pain, for as long as we've been sitting. So that started to happen.
Can I
And
interrupt, Danielle?
yeah,
Because
sure.
earlier you said this wasn't due to any injury or illness. And I just want to point out, because I too had this exact same thing happen, that sitting is the new smoking. It's
Oh, absolutely.
horrible for us. Our jobs are requiring us to sit. We have standing desks, we have walking pads, blah, blah, blah. But it is
Yeah.
torture to be sitting in this position for 10 hours a day.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is funny, actually. I remember at one point last year talking to a neighbor friend about that, saying exactly the same thing, that sitting is the new smoking. So I wholeheartedly agree. So, as I'm continuing to work in this very Mad Men-esque environment and doing all the things, I began my healing journey. And it was not a straight road, it was very complicated. So, it started with a first trip to a primary care physician. And it's so funny looking back at all we know as yoga therapists about the nervous system that I just didn't know at the time. And I laugh when I remember asking her, are some people's nervous system just wired a little differently? Because I was in pain, right? I was starting to really pay attention to my body, right? And realize I couldn't solve everything with my mind. And she just looked at me like it was the strangest question to ask. And she said, no. And, of course, we know that that's not quite right. And this was many years ago. And I don't even know if this doctor's still on this planet at this point. So I'm not too worried about that. So I left that first appointment with a referral to a physical therapist and a large and free bag of Vioxx.
Time out. I have questions. So you had figured out somehow that your pain was influenced by your nervous system. Because, 20 years ago, that was not a thing. Nobody was talking about.
I know. It's so wild to me that I intuited that back then, having zero training. But I look back at that too. It sort of makes me sad in a way that she didn't know that, right?
Right.
Because doctors see so many people with chronic pain. I don't know. Do you remember Vioxx? It was taken off the market
I
fairly
remember the
quickly.
name. Yeah. I have to go back though. I mean, that's horrifying that you had a bag of this stuff. But the point of us figuring out, because I intuited this also, that, oh, this is my nervous system. And nobody would believe me. Nobody would give me any solutions. I literally had to figure it out on my own. And it's one of the reasons I fell in love with yoga therapy, which I know you're about to talk about. By understanding how our nervous system is affecting our muscular system and our skeletal system and really all systems of our body, like that's the driver. And that until we inhabit and embody again and feel and sense and start responding, nothing's going to get fixed.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Even though I wasn't embodied, I did have a good sense that I'm pretty sensitive to medication. So I think I maybe took it once or twice, and then I shoved it in the back of my closet. And I know this because when my now husband and I moved out of that apartment that we lived in during that time, when we moved, I found this huge bag of Vioxx that had since then been taken off the market. So anyway, I had this referral to a physical therapist. And I know that there are really, truly wonderful physical therapists out there. So I just need to preface by saying that it just happened that the one that I saw was not such a great one. And I think they just kind of plugged into their computer what I had and printed out a list of exercises for me. And that was that. There was never, the way I work with clients where you kind of slow it down and you kind of, ask them to pay attention. This exercise is for X muscle or X muscle group, but is that actually what's engaging? Or are some helper muscles jumping in? That type of thing. Out of the 8 appointments that I was prescribed, they put me on a traction machine for most of them. So they didn't really know what to do with me. I kind of marked PT off my list. And along the way, and I'll kind of speed through this a little bit. Let's see. Oh, I visited a neurologist a few times. She did an MRI and I did have a bulging disc, but I don't think that that had anything to do with it. She told me nerves are tricky. You're young, you'll heal. And I remember how furious that made me when she said that because it didn't give me any solution. It just was like, oh, so I just have to wait to get older or something.
And let's
Then,
note here, we have to say this, that you can have a bulging disc on an MRI and have no pain.
Absolutely.
And you cannot have a bulging disc on an MRI and have extreme pain to attend. That those two things, surgeons will tell you they don't correlate.
They do not. I've told so many clients this, and nobody wants to hear that, right? They want the piece of paper or the write-up or report to prove their pain, but it just doesn't correlate. Okay, so I did massage therapy. I did neuromuscular massage therapy, chiropractic care, acupuncture, all great modalities, right? All wonderful modalities that help tons and tons of people, but they didn't help me. I don't know why, but they didn't help me. And, I also have to throw out there that these were all things that people were doing things to me, right? It was sort of seeking external support for people to work on me. And so while I probably was starting to develop an interoceptive sense just by paying attention to that, it wasn't tuning me in the way that I needed to. So along the way, I did discover yoga. Still a lot of pain, still working in advertising, working all of the time. I actually had a girlfriend at work that forced me to go to the Y because I just was working all of the time. And I didn't take any yoga classes there, but that kind of opened the doorway a little bit to my physical body. And I say that a lot because, anything can be a doorway, right? It really can be anything that kind of sends you in that direction. And I don't remember how, but my first yoga classes were actually at the meditation center in Minneapolis. Are you familiar at all with
I'm
them?
not.
It's in the Himalayan tradition and it's just in a sweet old house. And, I signed up for an 8-week class. It was very, protocol, hatha yoga, but it sort of set me on that course. And I completed that. And then I was living in the North Loop, more downtown, right on the edge of downtown. And at the time, the Yoga Center of Minneapolis existed in the North Loop. They don't exist there in the same way anymore. They're out in the suburbs. But I immediately jumped into Ashtanga yoga and Bucket Series. And I know this is all such a cliche, Amy, right? But that was my doorway. And of course, my yoga was as intense as my work environment and my nervous system at that time. And unlike a lot of people, I started my personal practice immediately, but for all the wrong reasons, because I had to achieve all of the poses. In fact, in that last apartment my husband and I lived in, I put my knee through the sheetrock practicing, headstand and handstand. And luckily, my husband's very handy and he could fix it.
Can I
Yeah.
say, Daniel, also that this is the education that is needed to the medical community, that
Yes.
sending people to yoga class is not the answer. There, yoga classes can be beautiful. There's 100 amazing things that can happen at yoga class. But when your doctor's recommending, that's usually not the kind people need. They need yoga therapy, or at the very least,
Agree.
therapeutic yoga. So we
Yes.
need to figure out how to get that message out to healthcare providers. Please take a moment with me to go and listen to something a little different, and then we'll get right back to the guest. Many times, as yoga teachers, yoga therapists, or even moms, dads, grandparents, we wonder what's happening with our loved one in between the times we're seeing them. Whether your child went off to college or whether you're a yoga therapist who only sees your client once a month, you might wonder, how are they doing? Well, here at the Optimal State, we have developed a mobile app where people can track how they're feeling mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually at different times of day, seasons of the year. And basically, you can see the data. You can see how your 6 to 10 a.m. slot in your day looks and how you usually feel at that time versus your 2 to 6 p.m. How do you feel at that time of the day? And you can see the patterns. You can set a week, a month, a season, and get the aggregate data so you can see what your pattern is. Where do you tend to go out of balance? And the cool thing is you can just take a screenshot of that summary and send it off to your yoga teacher, your yoga therapist, your parent, your child. It's a really great way to check in. And I think especially for maybe kids that don't want to call their parents all the time from school, they could just show their parent the data, like, okay, I'm doing all right. Here, look at my data for the last 2 weeks. Screenshot, boom, it's yours. Now you can settle down and stop calling me. It could be that, or it could be that your child is not doing well, but they don't know how to say that to you, or maybe your client. And so your client could take a screenshot of their data from the last week and send it to you as they come into the session, so you kind of have an idea of what's going on with them. So there's many ways to use it. And in addition, there are wonderful interventions that help people to come into balance. So I hope you'll consider checking out on the App Store. It's called Optimal State App. You just type that in, Optimal State App, and check it out. It's free for the first few weeks, so you have nothing to lose from trying it out and checking out how to track, how to get your aggregate data, how to send that off, and then hopefully how to get some interventions. All right, now let's go back to our guest.
Yes, we do. I agree. I think of this, all week when I'm seeing my clients too. Not only that, but have them be more trauma informed. Every week I hear a horror story where I get so annoyed that I, want to call up, right, the head of their institution and go, okay, we need a little education here on why you shouldn't just give someone a breast exam without actually informing them that they're about to have a breast exam or,
Yeah.
whatever that is. Anyway, side note, trauma is my thing too. So, okay. I was doing yoga and I will say it did not make my pain better. In fact, there were certain poses that definitely made my pain worse. And I studied with lots of famous Yoga Journal type teachers. I was gaining a lot of experience. And soon, of course, I started my first yoga teacher training. And I do feel like, still, even though I wasn't practicing the right type of yoga for what I needed right then, that interoceptive sense was definitely developing. I was starting to create connections between my body and emotions but not necessarily in the best way, and that I would start to get really angry when I couldn't make it to my 6 p.m. yoga class because work kept me from that, because I never knew when I was going to be able to leave work, and then I felt guilty for leaving. So I had that combo going on. At the end of this year-long yoga teacher training, I traveled to India with some yogi friends, and I feel like in many ways, this is going to get a little woo-woo, but I feel like I opened this doorway in the universe that I did not intend to open. Because when I did this yoga teacher training, I never planned to teach. I know.
Pandora's box of India.
No, I know, like all of it. I was just unknowingly sending messages here, right? And because I did not plan to ever teach yoga, I just wanted to know more, right? I had to always know more, understand more, educate myself. And so a few months after returning from India, and this was during the recession, I lost my job.
Oof.
And this was absolutely world tilting for me. I mean, by the way, I'm still in pain. And as you can imagine, this did not help my pain. So, job loss, income loss, having to sell our beloved condo downtown, all of these things really sent me into a very dark night of the soul experience. And I don't say that lightly. It was very, very, very intense. And I was just seeing this master problem solver, and it was a problem that I couldn't solve. It sent me deeper into my meditation practice and my connection with the spirit, and it definitely took me deeper into my yoga practice. But all this at the same time, I'm kind of putting together yoga classes to make money, trying to get whatever freelance art direction work I could get because there were no full-time art director jobs out there at that time. But even in the best economy, there are job losses all the time because you're at the whim of all these companies and, if they're going to cut budgets or switch agencies or things like that. So I got deeper into my meditation practice. And as I'm trying to solve all of these things, I literally started to envision using yoga to heal, but I had no idea yoga therapy existed. I never heard the words. I never heard the words. I just didn't know that this existed. So I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. This is how it unfolded for me. And when I was in India, I had made a friend in India within our group that I didn't know previously that lived in Minneapolis at that time. And she was doing the Phoenix Rising yoga therapy teacher training. So I dabbled in that a little bit and I really, really liked it, but somehow it didn't exactly fit with this vision that I had created. And so somehow I found out about integrative yoga therapy. And I remember I found a phone number somehow and I called them with a list of questions. Will it teach me to do this? Will it teach me? I just needed to know if it checked all of the boxes. So I went to Kripalu. I think that at some point in time later down the road, integrative yoga therapy got absorbed by Kripalu, actually. And
I wanted to comment on that. Probably, I don't know, years ago, but Kripalu bought Joseph LePage's integrative yoga curriculum. There was a period where Joseph was coming to teach the Kripalu teachers the method, and then at some point, Joseph would remove himself, and Kripalu would own this curriculum for yoga therapy.
So when I took it was Joseph and Lillian LePage and Maria Mendola and Kathy Prescott and Beth Gibbs. And so my first big chunk of yoga therapy training was a month long at Kripalu. So 7 days a week, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m. Yes, there were meals, of course, in Yoga Nidra, but it was intense. I was sharing a dorm with 20 other women, right? My life is just totally blown up, all of these things. And here I am. And my husband seriously is a saint in this regard that he just go, what are we,
What
what
are we doing?
is
I was going to say,
that?
Kripalu can be a little pricey for a month.
I know. So here I was. And I will say during that time, my vata was at its absolute peak. In fact, I remember at one point during some of the Ayurvedic training where they separated, there were probably about 50 of us into, kapha, pitta, vata, and there were probably one or two kaphas, almost all pittas. And then I was pretty much the picture of vata during that time. I was almost levitating, my vata was so high just from the schedule and not really being able to sleep, and that type of thing. So my pain continued to worsen. Just so many dots are getting connected, right? On so many levels. I mean, I'm sure you talk about this, so I don't need to go into all that's involved in this training, but sometimes when people ask me about it, I try to figure out how to describe. It was sort of like getting sort of torn open or cracked open, and you're just sort of raw, right? And then everything's getting reshuffled, right? Because you're learning so much, but then you're doing all this intense yoga therapy on each other, right?
Call it a reorganization of the gunas.
Very much so. Yes. And so, it was at that point I really started connecting my body and emotions in a really big way. And there were just so many different pieces of this that I still use today, that were very powerful in helping me really connect the dots. Also, at the same time, really feel my power in a way that I hadn't really acknowledged or experienced, So even though that spark was clearly there because, I'd make all these moves and, make choices and figure things out. It just really centered it in my body. I do have to share this one experience from my time at Kripalu before moving on. So, most days in the Kripalu cafeteria, I would sit, with friends that I'd made there. And I don't know why. One day I walked up to Joseph's table and I set my tray down. And the second I sat down, I just started bawling. I just completely unraveled. And, when I think about that time, there are a million things Joseph could have done. He could have ignored me. He could have talked to the staff. He could have said, "Oh, are you okay?" He could have said a lot of things, but instead he looked at me and he said, "When I did my very first yoga teacher training, I had to set aside time every single day to cry." And I just, oh, right? To hear that from the head of, the program, to hear that from a man, right? It was just so deeply impactful for me.
And
And
normalizing it.
yes,
I'm
it
sure
was.
there was a little bit of embarrassment, like, oh my God, I just sat down and what happened?
That was so permission giving for me, and that's a huge part of the permission giving I give to my clients, right? To validate emotions that, weren't validated in their childhood, for example, and things like that. I just feel like that piece somehow really solidified that in me in a really powerful way. And I'll have to send this, when it posts to Joseph, because I don't know if I ever shared how powerful that was for me. Then I set off to leave to drive back to Minnesota. And of course, driving is sitting. Right? So, I left there. Oh, and as a side note, it's so funny that I had also signed up for a really intense Ayurvedic training. And while I was at Kripalu, I called to cancel. I said, "I think this is actually going to take care of what I was like, what was I thinking? That, yeah, I needed to do both because, in that case, I mean, it just wasn't. It really ticked all the boxes for me. So, when I went home, I just set to work on myself. I took everything I learned and I didn't do big poses. I did really tiny microscopic movements. I used breath and mudras and curiosity and attention. I feel like attention is so important. I feel like we use the word mindfulness an awful lot, and I really feel like attention is kind of where it's at, and curiosity. I just really listened to my body, and within 3 months, I had no pain.
You just nailed it. curiosity, feeling your body, putting attention, moving slowly, moving with the breath. I don't know if we want to jump here yet, but
Yeah,
what is
what?
happening from a neuroscience perspective? Because this is why yoga therapy is so important right here.
I could go off on a lot of tangents here, but if I were to boil it down to, I was really, really good at being in my sort of task positive brain, right? I was really good at constantly figuring things out. I actually had a really well-developed prefrontal cortex. That was already there. Work that was missing was my interoceptive network. I don't think I had a lot of connections to my insula, right? I don't think that I had the connections of paying attention. And I'm sure this happens with you too. Sometimes when you're working with a client, and I see all of my clients online around the world, but they'll log in and kind of an initial, how are you doing? And they'll say, I'm fine, right? And then when they close their eyes and start to pay attention, they'll go, oh, Danielle.
I am so not fine.
Pull yourselves and be in this really task positive brain network environment and busy, busy, busy and moving through and just not checking in. I just feel like there's so much power in just really closing your eyes, and if somebody's listening to this podcast, if you're not driving, right, just, taking a moment to close your eyes and check in and go, oh, wow, actually, this is going on, right? And I think that that's where the power was. I'd never had anybody really help me connect the dots in those ways. It's just so basic. It's painfully basic sometimes, right? That
Painfully basic.
yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I feel like the neuroscience behind it is complicated, right? Because not every person is the same. Not everybody I work with is going to be, the sort of taskmaster like me. Some are really locked into this really ruminative, sort of overactive, for example, default network state, right? Where they're just ruminating, right? Excessively and things like that. As with all things, it isn't black and white, right? And that's why yoga therapy is so important. You have to meet the person that's in front of you where they are. And even the person they were last week might not be the same person that's in front of you this week, And so, as much as I would love to be able to say, well, it's this, right? That is off balance, right? Or, that isn't it. And, my thesis, of course, was on interoception. And I was looking at it in particular, its association with mental health conditions. And, I still feel like interoception, that research is so much still in its infancy, but the evidence we have so far is so overwhelmingly that whether it's addiction, whether it's an eating disorder, whether it's PTSD, whether it's anxiety, depression, I mean, so many things, right? There is this imbalance in interoception that links them all in this way that you can't really make up,
Yeah, I want to go back a little bit. For some of our clients, it's the emotional states that cause them chronic pain. For some of them, it's overthinking, overdoing that caused the pain. For some of them, it's they actually have an injury from moving furniture. For other ones, it's that their finances are really difficult or their marriage is crumbling. Like, because it's all connected, there's no like, if you're in pain, then pay attention and this will happen.
No, I know.
But as yoga therapists, because we're looking from all five layers of the human system, and we know that when you influence one layer, it has potential to impact the others, especially if you're working with the pranamaya breath layer, right? That's going to have such a huge impact on all the others that it's a co-negotiation, like you're walking down this road together, trying to figure it out together. And what I eventually figured out that mine came from two places, from sitting way too much, which I've had to completely change the way I live. And the other one was anger.
Oh,
Express
yeah.
anger. Like, those are the two that if I don't take care of those two things, oh, we're going to have some pain. But that's a unique puzzle for every person.
It sure is. And I just feel like it requires so much re-education in the medical system because this sort of allopathic, oh, you have low back pain. I used to a lot of times have people ask me to mentor them and they'd be all ready with their notepad. Okay, low back pain. What is the protocol? Well, who's the person? You know, it's the same as somebody emails me and say, hey, I'm interested in working with you, but I want to know what we're going to do. And I say, well, I haven't met you yet, you know? And yeah.
I need to assess. Yeah. And it's so hard to not be able to put it into words until they have the experience because that makes it hard to market. It makes
Sure
it hard
does.
to educate the healthcare system. We can't come in. Not only do we not have words for it, but we don't have protocols and we don't have all these measured outcomes, you know, all the things healthcare is looking for. And yet we're the last stop. We're the ones that after they've gone through all the other stuff, they finally land at yoga therapy, and a lot of times it works.
Yeah, I know. It's so tricky. And you know, a lot of therapists will refer their clients to me and they'll do it when they'll go, okay, we need to bring the body in, right? You know, we're not making progress. We just live in a society that wants everything to fit into this neat and tidy box. But you know, even within research, right? You can look at any research study and then you can go, well, but what about this population? You know, look different, right? In that situation, you know, because we're human and humans, yes, we have the same basic parts, right? But our wiring is so different and our experience is so different, you know, and what people have lived, you know, that's played
Well,
into this.
I have an overall theory, though, that I want to run by you since you've been trained
Sure.
officially at King's College. So, this came from an organic experience over about 10 years. And then I've been trying it for another 10 with my clients, and it seems to be working that when we have shock or trauma or high levels of stress or injury, that the connection between the motor cortex and the actual spot on the body. So there's a place in your brain and a place in your body that correspond, that all of those things can cause a disconnect. And that what
Yes.
we're doing in yoga therapy, put very simply, is we're finding the places that got disconnected. And
Ah,
through
yes.
awareness and attention and breath, we're reconnecting that frozen part of the body, that numb part of the body, that disassociated part of the body, we're reconnecting it to its place in the brain. Do you think that's a simple, good explanation for what we do?
You know, I do. And sometimes I use dark humor a lot in my work, right? Because my work can be so serious. We have to laugh about this very serious work of healing ourselves. And, you know, I'll have a client who will be beating themselves up about something, and I'll go, but just remember when we started working together, you were just this sort of coloring sheet outline of a body, right? And now, right, you know, like we filled in all of these areas and I can see that. And that's part of what led me to do that particular program is I could see it, right, unfolding in their brain and nervous system, but I didn't always have the words for it, right? What is happening here, right? When you absolutely can't find Glumex. Right.
Right.
It just doesn't
Not
exist in
connected.
your awareness. I mean, you can get 10 other muscles to fire instead of glute max because we could go on all of the potential things, right? But man, you have to really regress. You have to back way off and talk to all those, what I call them, the security systems of the body when I'm working with clients, right? You know, all of these parts. Right, that have come in over time and they have different roles, they might have different ages, right? But ultimately, they're there to protect you, whether
Right.
they're right now doing the best job is an
Let they get a
entirely
little overzealous and shut things down.
different debate. But you know, kind of going, okay, right, shoulders or whatever it is, thank you so much for your support, right? But you know,
Thanks,
the
but no
theater.
thanks.
Right? I mean, have to approach the body with sort of such kindness and compassion because, gosh darn, it's been working so hard, right? To try to do the right thing. It's just not gone about it the right way. So I agree with you. And that was kind of a long way of saying it, that I do think, and how we test that exactly, right, is very involved because, what is missing, in a person varies so widely, like what they can't find, that got disconnected along the way. It doesn't fit into, right, the funding for these research programs very easily. Yeah. If you have ideas, I'd be happy to
I like
explore them
that.
offline.
What got disconnected along the way? That's what we're helping the client to discover within themselves. For who knows? I mean, I don't even think we have to find the original reason, but we have to do the exploration and the interoceptive awareness to understand that it even got offline. Like when I was in my chronic pain, I didn't actually realize that the lower left quadrant of my body was disconnected. I knew my leg was dragging and I was taking my toe, and it was like, why do I keep doing that with my toe? But I didn't get that the whole thing was numb until I did yoga nidra. And every single time we did the body scan, I would fall asleep during the left leg and then I'd wake up afterwards. And I was like, that is so weird. Why am I always falling asleep during that left leg? It was those kinds of connections. Then I realized, oh, there's no interoceptive awareness in that left leg. Oh, now I need to do something to kind of wake it up and reconnect it back here. But,
Right.
it's just
Yeah.
an exploration that I discovered, and now I know how to do that with my clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm always really curious about when people dip off at certain points in yoga nidra. I sort of feel like, right, the brain is having to work so much harder during that time because it can't find it, or it feels too scary to go there, a myriad of reasons. I've always. Is there a part where you kind of went away? Always really interesting,
And
yoga nidra in itself.
I've made entire yoga nidras just for like the whole left side of the body, like a short one, because they are working so hard to make those reconnections and have that interoceptive awareness and attention on each part. And they couldn't do a whole body scan. They only have 10 minutes of that type of focused work. So let's just do the whole left side, or for some people, it might be the right side.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you just kind of have to tune in to that individual's capacity, and you may have to back it off even more. Maybe the hands or the feet or something are the only place in the body that feels safe, and that's your doorway, right?
Exactly.
And oh gosh, I mean, Amy, I feel like we could talk about all of this.
Well, you know what? I have an entire month in 2026 on interoceptive awareness. So I'm going to invite you back and we're going to
Okay.
dig into this.
I
I'll
love it.
contact you because I think it's important for us to understand this is not woo-woo, although it sounds like it. There
Sure
is
does. I know.
actual neuroscience to support why it works, and that the ancient sages who created yoga nidra, they knew this,
They
right? That
did.
we are rediscovering what has been the wisdom of yogis for thousands of years, and we're just starting to get the science to show it.
Yeah, I know. Don't you love when a new study comes up and it seems so just earth-shattering, and then you go, yeah, we've known this. But you need the science, right, to bring it into the masses, right? And so if that's what we need, to get us there, I'm all for it. Yeah.
So, Danielle, can we start to move towards our closing today?
Sure.
You said, and by the way, I'm still in pain. And by
Oh.
the way, so am I some days.
Oh, actually, I'm not still in pain,
Okay,
but
well, tell
yeah,
us.
okay, yeah. I had little, I would say, flare-ups after that 3 month period. I do have to say, and I know this isn't within everyone's capacity, I was really diligent about my practice and I was doing it every single day. And if I missed a day due to travel or who knows, whatever, I would get a little flare-up. But really, I have been pain-free for a very, very, very long time. I mean, I really consider it to be at least 15 years I've been pain-free. And if I did have an even just sort of twinge of it, I can usually tie it to too much sitting, too much on my plate, all of those things. I do feel like when I finished my master's program, I did have to do kind of a retool on my body because I had to sit so much. I've seen clients 5 days a week parenting and doing a very intense master's program simultaneously. I had no life. I mean, no life, right? I've been using this first few months of this year to kind of gain that back. But there are two things with that, right? So much sitting and just, oh man, just task brain, constant, right? And not, having enough of that, time to do the things. The thing that helps me that isn't yoga is, between almost every client, I go for a walk. I walk my dog. I really, really strongly practice what I teach. And when I'm waiting for my tea kettle to boil, I might do two or three poses. I feel like I have to just kind of keep on it, because I feel like my body knows how to do that, right? And so even though it hasn't come back, it has the potential there. Sorry, I apologize that that sounded like I said that I
No.
still had pain. But I do view pain as a teacher, because, for example, after I had my daughter, I had some knee pain from gardening, and I was able to sort of kind of break it down and go, okay, what's happening here? And I kind of figured out my systems for, if that were to happen, things like that. I mean, I know that when people are in pain, they really hate hearing those words that pain is a teacher, but man, oh man, is it the ultimate teacher? I mean,
It's a messenger. It's a
oh
messenger
gosh.
that something needs to shift, some habitual pattern, whether it's anger or how you're thinking or how you're moving or how much you're kneeling at down in the garden. It's just giving you a message.
And working with people with similar pain patterns to mine, they would get better. And some of these are people that weren't able to see me online once I switched online. But I'm just thinking of somebody in particular that makes me smile. And then they would be like, I feel better. I stopped doing my practice. And then they'd send me a message and they go, okay, I shouldn't have stopped doing my practice.
I mean, that's the point, right? As you said, you have to stay on it. And if you don't pay attention to those early signals, which sometimes I still don't, it's going to come back and then you get to revisit what you're doing.
It's true. People don't like to hear this, but the body requires constant maintenance for the whole lifespan. And I am constantly preparing my body and my clients' bodies, sometimes whether they like it or not, for the long term. Like I might give them a practice and I might go, well, this will be for a little while. And then another practice, I'll say, do this for the rest of your life, right? Because you want to be able to get up off the toilet unassisted or, things like that, right? Oh, if we go, Amy, you and I could talk for a very long time.
I
I'm
know we're
feeling,
gonna
I keep
have to.
reining, I have to keep reining myself in.
Well, you're coming back. We'll have some more. I'll figure out what month that interoceptive awareness month is next year, and you can be a primary teacher for us. Let's take a look at your website in case anyone would
Sure.
contact you. Your
Sure.
website.
It's DanielleDePillis.com. Yeah, so it's my name. You can also reach it through 12PetalsWellness.com. I
Okay.
finally, after I completed my master's program, got around to retooling my website from 2008. Because, other things were higher priority. So at least it's mobile friendly now, Amy. You
Great.
can see it on your phone.
Cool. But it's Danielle, DanielleE, DE, Pillis, Pillis dot com. And is there anything you want to tell us that you'd like to highlight about your work?
As we talked about before, it's really, really hard to explain this work. If you go to my homepage to the very bottom, I feel like this is not super obvious. So right here are a whole bunch of testimonials that you can swipe through. And I feel like if you are somebody who doesn't know much about yoga therapy, It's just sort of a glimpse, a doorway into different people's experiences, right? Because everyone is so different and their journey is so different. And like we were saying, it's so hard to explain this work, and it can sound kind of woo-woo, but part of that is because it's so unique to each person, right? So that's something I'd look at. And then, going back to the top again, sessions, I work right now entirely in private practice. You can email me if you want to connect. You can call me. Email is definitely the best way to reach me. I do have a form you can fill out to contact me. I will say emailing me is probably your best bet. But you have to be willing to work online. I know that people talk about, some people say, oh, you should never do that. But I will say my clients with PTSD, it has been so great because all they have to do is open their computer and hit the Zoom link. They can be in their pajamas. They don't have to drive a car, figure out how they're going to get to me. There's so many things. Or if, work meetings can be scheduled before and after. I just feel like it's offered so much more flexibility for people to work with me in that way. And the people with PTSD in particular that used to cancel a lot, they just don't because, oh, I can get there. I know Danielle will meet me where I am. Even if I'm in the middle of a full-fledged PTSD flashback, I know that she will help me get out of it. And I just have to hit this button, And so everybody can weigh their pros and cons to that, but that's been my experience.
I work exclusively online for the same reason. People with autoimmune, people with chronic pain, that they don't have the time, energy, ability to drive somewhere and park and get in a building and do
Yes.
the same thing on the other end. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Most of healthcare is moving towards telemedicine and videos anyway, so we're kind of right in alignment with that.
Yeah, I don't currently have any workshops or classes. Early on, I did a ton of that when I had my daughter and she got to be a certain age. Driving to all of these studios all over the place just did not work. And my private practice got busy enough that it just, worked out this way. I do have some King's colleagues that we've been kind of scheming, right, to put together some different workshops and things, but that's TBD. My daughter just went back to school this week, so that offers me a little bit of, little space
Congratulations.
in between clients and stuff, whereas in between clients was 100% her, kind of
Yeah.
deals. So yeah, that's me. People can feel free to email me. I'm, very happy to connect with people in that way. And, if there's somebody locally that wants to meet for tea or something.
Well, I would like to. I'll contact
Oh,
you
yes. Yeah,
since we're local.
I think we should. I was gonna say that actually early on. It feels kind of weird that you're so close and we haven't met. So we
I
need to get that on
know.
the calendar.
And I
Yeah,
laugh.
maybe there's somewhere between or something we could
Yeah.
meet.
I go to my parents every week right near you. So we could do that.
Oh,
Go walk around the
perfect.
lake. So that would be great.
Love it. Yeah, sounds
All
good.
right. Thanks, Danielle, for being with us today. And keep in touch. I'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take
Thank you.
care. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Danielle, for being with us today. It was such a pleasure to talk to you and realize that there's someone so close, just a few miles away from me, that I can get to know. And I want to say that this journey of discovering interoceptive awareness and how attention and focus and breath work and being present to our own emotions and bodies and sensations. Because that was my process for healing through yoga, that's basically what I offer on Monday nights. We have a Monday night sangha that we get together every Monday night, and I'll continue that in 2026, 2027. And basically, just to say that that's the process we try to go through. What we described today, this is what we do in our Monday night classes. So we would love to have you with us anytime. And thanks for listening. It's always wonderful to meet a new friend like Danielle and find so many connections. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you to our listeners at the Yoga Therapy Hour for listening each week and also sending emails of thanks and gratitude and letting us know how the Yoga Therapy Hour has changed your life. Every time we receive one of those, we think, okay, we're going to keep going. This is hard work, but we got this. We're making a difference in the world in our own unique way. So thank you again for listening. We are so grateful for all of you, our listeners.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.